I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Basically, the last, 25 minutes, I have been venting. I took off the Band-Aid in regards to just the blood that is emanating from my body. I'm battered, I'm bruised from watching the Minnesota Vikings absolutely get destroyed yesterday at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts. They're not even good. 28-11. And joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter. Give him a follow on Twitter.com at Matthew Collar. Matthew, how was your weekend, my man?
Well, at very least, it ended with some great football from the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots. So I felt like my palate had been cleansed by that football after watching what happened to the Vikings. But, you know, I really think that it's fascinating how quickly the fan base at 0-2, because of how it's looked, and I'm not saying anyone's wrong for doing this, but it's fascinating how quickly they've moved to, all right, we've got to talk about the future, and this team and this season is completely lost. And I don't blame anyone for that, and it really felt like when they were walking off the field in San Francisco last year after the playoff game that was it for this era of Viking football, and it wouldn't be as simple as just kind of moving a few parts around and you'll be just as good as you were before during the Zimmer era. But, boy, this has been a punch in the mouth that I think not even the people expecting some bumps in the road could have anticipated.
I expected bumps in the road. I didn't expect it to be this bad, but I'm so glad that that's where we started, Matthew, and I'm glad you went there. You stated there eloquently that Minnesota Viking fans, it's almost like they've turned on the team in the blink of an eye, but you're right. Minnesota Viking fans, it's almost like they woke up out of a trance, and they're like, no, this team isn't very good. We have been lulled into thinking that all is right in the land of 10,000 lakes, and all is not right. And I have said this, and me and you have had these conversations, man, for a while. And I told you there was going to be some regression with Kirk Cousins, and I'm not putting this all on the quarterback. Every part of this team is flawed, okay? I think the play calling sucks right now. I think the defense overall, defensive line, the secondary, atrocious. Our offensive line. There's so many various different aspects of this team that are just flat out god-awful. But I think the reason why Viking fans woke up today and they said, we're in a bad place, is because I think for the first time, a lot of Viking fans that have had hashtag faith in Kirk Cousins, they're like, man, nah, he's not that dude. And look, was he the number one reason why we lost the game yesterday? I think it goes to the defense and them not being able to stop the Indianapolis Colts. But he was up there. That was by far and away his worst performance as a member of this organization. I know that he's had bad performances against the Bears and the Packers, but my goodness, man. What do you make of the Cousins' performance yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would put him number one far and away as the reason that they lost. I actually thought that the defense, to be in a position where the offense had given them absolutely no help and only allow 18 points by, maybe the end of the half or into the third quarter and keep their team mildly in the game was actually a good job by Mike Zimmer to tweak some scheme things and not just get smoked in the passing game again and to actually give them a chance. But Kirk Cousins had, I mean, one of his classic no-shows. And this is the thing that is such a realization, I think, like you're saying, with Cousins, is that there was always this talk of, hey, if Cousins just does X, Y, and Z, then he can really get it together. And, hey, last year it was the system. That was the problem from 2018. All he needed was Gary Kubiak and Kevin Stefanski and play-action passes and a decent run game, and that's all he needed, and he's a good quarterback. And he did have a good 2019 season. But I can point to a bunch of games that were just like Indianapolis, not quite as bad, but, I mean, the game against the Packers in Week 2, the game last year against Chicago in Week 4 in Kansas City. You know, Sloan, who works for WCCO, she was with me in Kansas City covering that game as well. And she, after the game, said, now I get what you're saying about bad Kirk. Like, I really get it. When bad Kirk shows up, you don't win. And they lost to Matt Moore last year with bad Kirk showing up. And so if we thought there was all these ways you could work around bad Kirk, well, there really isn't. He's just going to have those games. He's just going to have these stretches. And I think where what the fans are, I guess, finally having to come to grips with here is, if you have a quarterback that does this, how are you going to win four games in the playoffs? And you're just not. And then especially when he's been propped up by a very good supporting cast for literally every year of the guy's career as a starting quarterback, except for 2017. In 2015 and 16, he's got DeSean Jackson, and then he comes here and has Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, who, by the way, made Case freaking Keenum good. I mean, so you're talking about a guy who's really had things go his way. He comes here, he has two top 10 defenses, and then all of a sudden, a couple of parts go awry, and you can't win with them anymore. And I think that you see that, and you say, well, wait, okay, that's fine for somebody that you're not paying as a top-five quarterback, but he has higher cap hits over the next 2 years than Patrick Mahomes. And that's where I think a lot of fans say, all right, you know what, if this guy was a 23-year-old quarterback who we were still learning about, fine, but he's not. He's one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and he can't make you a shred better than you are. Well, that's a frustrating place to be.
Talking to Matthew Cotler from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter here on Late Night News Talk, A30WCCO. I am on the record saying that with Kirk Cousins as our quarterback, we're not winning a Super Bowl. The Vikings just aren't. They're not. That's my official stance on the situation, and I'm not moving off of that. But I'm not just going to put it all on him. What the hell is Rick Spielman going to do about developing an offensive line? His track record with offensive linemen is atrocious. In terms of drafting them, developing them, they've had maybe just a couple of good linemen. But my goodness, Rick, what are we doing?
Yeah, and just to clarify, I mean, I put it on Cousins, but that doesn't mean everyone else was great. So
yeah, I hear you.
He was the number one culprit. But if you want to go down the laundry list of players who had a very, very tough game against Indianapolis and Green Bay, well, you know, I think at some point, maybe it was on our live stream on Friday with Sam Ekstrom and Sloan and you, that I think both Sam and I said, hey, if you think that Drew Samia is going to be better than Pat Elflein, you might want to check that for a second. And guess what? He wasn't. He was worse. And it can get worse. But you make a great point that, you know, this is a position that you put yourself in when you pay a quarterback, is that they couldn't sign an expensive guard. I remember 2 years ago, they wanted Roger Saffold from Los Angeles. He's actually going to be playing at U.S. Bank Stadium for Tennessee this week. Tennessee has a good offensive line with him there, and part of it is that Tennessee just outbid the Minnesota Vikings because they had no cap space to spend. And the other part of it is, you have to rely on draft picks and UDFAs working out because you can't pay veterans. So I'll give you an example. 2017, they have Jeremiah Searles, who, by the way, I'm doing podcasts with these days, and Jarius Wright and guys like that who are good veteran players on relatively small contracts, but they couldn't even afford guys like backup guys like that. They can't afford a veteran situational rusher who can take a couple of games if Danielle Hunter is hurt. It's got to be, here's an unproven rookie, here's an unproven draft pick, and guess what happens with that? A lot of times those guys don't work out. And the elephant in the room here, too, that we haven't discussed, but we're going to start, is these drafts 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, not so good. They have not produced the next fifth round Stephon Diggs or the next third round Danielle Hunter or even the second round Eric Kendricks. They have not produced a whole hell of a lot over the last couple of years. And so even pointing toward like next season, they've got a long way to go to prove that any of these young guys can actually play to make me think that they're going to take a big step for next year. So, I mean, that's part of what we're going to be looking for going forward here.
How much heat should Mike Zimmer and his staff take for what transpired yesterday or what has transpired in the first couple of games? Because quite frankly, Matthew, I don't think that the play calling's been good. I don't think it's been great. It's left me wanting more.
So this also goes under the, we'll call it like the Pat Elflein Memorial way of looking at things of it can be worse. So when we thought of like Stefanski leaving, I think, I mean, naturally, and I guess I'm guilty of this too, saying, well, it's the same system. And so Gary Kubiak's a legend. He should just be able to run his own offense instead of Kevin Stefanski running his offense. But the play calling last year was very good from Kevin Stefanski for most of the season. He seemed to always dial up the right screen pass or the right play action or whatever else at the right time for most of that season. And through two games, Gary Kubiak has just not had the same approach or the same feel. I was really shocked that on Sunday they came out and ran play action on three out of the first four plays, I think, and then it seemed like they never ran it again. And in the first game, they didn't use it very often, even when they were still in the game. And Kubiak kind of said, well, you know, the game situation dictated it, but play action works. All the statistics point to it. Pre-snap motion works, things like that. And you wonder, is Gary Kubiak kind of on the up and up of what works in 2020? Because, I mean, this guy, it's been a few years since he called plays. And when he won the Super Bowl, it was Peyton Manning running his offense. Not running the Kubiak offense, running the Peyton Manning offense. And so there is reason to sit here and say, I wonder if Gary Kubiak still has the fastball. I mean, he's one of the most respectable people in the NFL and has an incredible career, but this game changes fast. You're out for a couple of years, then, you know, it might not be the same that you're dropping back into. So, you know, I do wonder, they haven't started pointing fingers at that yet, but I do wonder if this continues to go on like this, if that is part of the issue.
Talking to Matthew Collar here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Collar. Where do I want to go next? Well, it's already bad. It goes from bad to worse. The news broke earlier today. Anthony Barr done for the season. It's like, what else can go wrong? Like, I know that there are like layers to things going wrong. There are a lot of other things that could go wrong, but man, this is just enough already. Anthony Barr, like when you think about the impact of an Anthony Barr being on the defensive side of the football, where would you rank him in terms of most valuable players? In terms of all the guys that they need to be playing at the top of their games for them to be good.
Yeah, first of all, I would say never would the Minnesota Vikings ask if it can be worse, because Mike Zimmer in 2016 had his eyeball permanently injured. So, and that was after losing Teddy Bridgewater. So it can get worse. The roof collapsed once. It can get worse. But in terms of what Anthony Barr means to them, I think that there's a little bit of a discrepancy between what Mike Zimmer thinks that Anthony Barr means to him and what we can actually prove that Anthony Barr means to the Vikings. And what I mean is when you look at any of the statistical measures, whether it's the sacks or the tackles for loss or the Pro Football Focus grades or the target numbers in coverage, it's really hard to find Anthony Barr as being irreplaceable. But I think what makes him tough to replace is that he's just so unique. So he is a highly, highly intelligent player. He's incredibly unique in his body size and speed. For someone to be 6'5 and 260 and run a 4'6 is hard to find. He covers a lot of spacing zones that you're not exactly going to see show up in things like Pro Football Focus grades. And the intelligence part of it, they've always been able to tweak and change on the fly because Anthony Barr can handle that, and he's kind of one of the leaders of that defense. So I think that there is a gap between he and Eric Wilson. But with that said, Eric Wilson is as good as it gets for a number three linebacker in the NFL. And what Wilson might have a chance here to prove, and this goes under the category of just, hey, a lot of guys are getting opportunities. He might have a chance to prove that he can be that guy going forward. He's another highly intelligent player. So, you know, I think we're going to find out, is Anthony Barr going to be a long-term part of this thing? Because next year, he's got a $15.5 million cap hit. Like, is that something you really want to pay for Anthony Barr, or would you want to move on from that? So, you know, I think that situation will be really worth watching from that perspective, but there's certainly not a better defense without Anthony Barr, and this just adds to the number of problems that they already have.
There's always going to be fabulous, awesome takes when we talk Viking football and just the National Football League. But then there's going to be bad takes as well. Yesterday after the game, what do you think was the worst take on the game that you saw, or the worst assessment that you saw on Viking football that was made post-game? Because the one that I heard, and I was driving and I almost drove off the road, was that people were already making determinations that Gladney and Jefferson were bust, which I was ready to pull my hair out, and you know that I'm bald headed and I have no hair, but like, how can anyone make the assessment that those two players are bust in week two of their rookie seasons? And I saw footage of like of some of the of the all 22 where they just, it wasn't even actually all 22. It was a sort of a breakdown of the safety play, and Jefferson was open on that play. Kirk didn't get the ball out. Like, to me, to try to throw rookies under the bus this early in the year, I can't do that.
Yeah, and tough situation with the hair. Sorry about all that.
I'll borrow some of yours.
You know what? I'm not sure that mine would look good on you, but, you know, I don't know. There's some other products that might be able to help you, but that's another show, I guess. So, anyway, yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. So, you know, Jeff Okuda from Detroit, right? He's the number three overall draft pick. Got his ass smoked yesterday by Aaron Rodgers. There is no harder position than cornerback to come into the NFL and be good right away. I think it's number one for most difficult. In fact, when I was at the NFL Combine, I was asking people about this and wrote an article about how corner is the toughest position because it's, A, there are different rules, so you can't grab down the field, which you're able to do in college. And then, B, think about whoever the best receiver you ever faced in college was. That's the guy you're facing every week. And by the way, he's more experienced and better, and he's much smarter, and he's playing a more complicated offense. I mean, it's just, there's so much to deal with, and to have no preseason, I think for those guys actually matters. The other thing is too, take a deep breath, everybody on the corners, because Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes at their peak are pretty good players. In fact, Rhodes was a great player at his peak. He didn't even really full time start to be that version, that peak version of Xavier Rhodes, until his third season and into his fourth season. And the same thing goes for, you know, even Trey Waynes, who wasn't a full-time starter until his third season. So, I mean, Mike Hughes is the guy that you should really be evaluating. Holton Hill is the guy you should really be evaluating. With the others, it's, let's hope their confidence aren't completely destroyed with Cam Dantzler and Jeff Gladney. And having talked to both, I don't think that's going to be a huge problem, but that's, you know, you should really expect, it's not just bumps in the road for them. It's car accident weekend sometimes for those guys, because they're just way in over their head. But that's the situation the Vikings put themselves in. And I would love to know, did they think that was going to be okay? Like, did they, or were they aware that the rookie corners were going to get killed and that was just something they had to deal with? Because there were opportunities to go sign some veteran corners. Dre Kirkpatrick was out there, a guy who had connections with Mike Zimmer. Prince Amakamura was out there, a proven corner who's been pretty good in the past. And they decided to just go with these guys. And, you know, I wonder if they regret that now, because there's a possibility that these guys walk out of their first year and go, I don't even know if I can play in this league, because that's how far in over their head they are.
Yep. That's Matthew Collar, Purple Insider Podcast and Newsletter here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good stuff, Matthew, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Thanks, Henry.
All right. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.